Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with violinist Gil Shaham when he was in town to play the Berg Violin Concerto with the Philadelphia Orchestra. The piece has been described as 12-tone in a tonal style, and I asked him what that meant to him.
Well, I love that. I love that. You know, the story of this concerto really started here in the States with the violinist Louis Krasner, and he had been pestering the master, you know, Alban Berg, attempting to commission a violin concerto from him. And Berg kept refusing. He kept refusing. And one of the arguments that Krasner used was, you know, maestro, you must write a piece that will finally silence those critics of 12-tone serialism. Oh. And you must write a piece that will demonstrate that this technique of composition can be soul-stirring and can move audiences. And Berg still refused to write the violin concerto. And finally, it was famously the occasion of the death of the young Manon Gropius, the daughter of Alma Mahler and her husband, the famous architect Walter Gropius at the time. And she was a teenager at the time. She was taken by polio. She was the apple of Viennese society's eye and loved by everyone and by Alban Berg himself. And he wrote a letter to her parents saying, words cannot express my feelings, but soon you will hear them in my new violin concerto.
Oh, wow, what a story. And he was in the middle of writing an opera and he put that aside.
He put it aside and, you know, it. Yeah, it's very touching to think about it. It ended up being his own requiem. You know, it was intended to be a requiem for this young lady, for Manon Gropius. And he never heard the piece performed. He himself died several months before the premiere of the violin concerto.
Well, when you say that the violinist wanted to, he wanted a piece that would show the 12-tone technique in a different way.
Yeah, what happens is in the piece is so incredible, and you know, I guess the piece is loosely based on the strings of the violin, and it's a very touching gesture. You know, the piece starts out with the four open strings of the violin. And it gives this feeling as if, you know, he just opened his violin case, he took it out of this case, and, you know, and these were the thoughts that came to my head as I took the violin out of its case. And from this grows a tone row, you know, 12 tones, so, you know, one, two, three.
So the 12 tones are the 12 tones in a row without skipping any notes.
That's right. So he repeats this row over and over again, goes backwards and forwards and a couple of notes at a time, and so, but always in a group of this 12 and with some very strict rules to it. But this particular choice of 12 tones has a special flavor to it because it has a minor chord and a major chord and a minor chord and a major. So there's this kind of very bittersweet feeling to the row, and it sort of shades the entire piece. It's as if you're looking at a film that was all made through this kind of distorted lens. And it gives this very beautiful feeling, especially in the first movement where he depicts the life of Manon Gropius. You know, he writes these dances, you know. You know, or and all the dances are seen through this lens. They're seen through this 12-tone row, which has this particular flavor to it. You know, this has a very bittersweet, nostalgic. I'm not sure what the exact word is. And then towards the end of the movement, he breaks out of this rule, and he hits on a traditional children's song. I think it's a song called A Bird Sits on the Plum Tree, you know? But something from his own childhood, and there's been a lot of speculation about what the meaning of that pattern. You know, very traditional Austrian. You know? And it so happens that this tune encompasses a tritone, which is like the last four notes of the row. And so the first movement ends, and then we start the second movement, and it's very operatic. It's like a scene change, because suddenly we deal with her death struggle. And it's a very violent music that takes the orchestra to its extremes. It takes the violin to its extremes. And it's very noisy, and it gets very loud and dissonant. And it's like a big geschrei, you know? This is her death struggle. And at the end of it, we're left with those last four notes of the tone row. You know, it turns out those four notes are also the first four notes of a Bach chorale.
I was going to say, he quotes Bach as well.
And this Bach chorale, in fact, was not the origin of the melody. The melody was a Lutheran hymn that was older than the Bach chorale. But, it became this chorale. You know, the words are, es ist genug. It's from the cantata, Ewigkeit, du Donnerswort, you know, in eternity, you word of thunder. And the words are, es ist genug. It is enough. I am ready, if it pleases you. I'm ready, Lord, take my soul, take my soul. And it's so touching. And this is the melody that he uses to depict her transcendence and you know, her death. And the end of the second movement is just all about this Bach chorale. At one point, he juxtaposes it very clearly. He has the clarinets playing in the back of the orchestra as if a faraway organ in a church, you know, in a nearby village, and immediately juxtapose it with his own setting of the melody with, you know, weeping violin and dissonant 12-tone harmonies. And then again, back to the Bach setting. And it really accentuates this feeling of yearning. You know, we want to go to the past. We want to go back to Bach. We want to go back to old Europe. But we've lost it, and anxiety, you know, where are we going now? And the piece continues, and the one variation after the other with this melody. The solo violin is weeping, and the concertmaster joins him. Another violinist joins them. All the violins join them. The violas all join them. You know, all the high strings on the stage are weeping together, and then one by one they drop out, and finally you're left with just the violin. Just a solo violin, and that Tyrolean melody from the past is played one more time. And then beginning with a double bass, the tone row is played from, you know, from the very lowest register of the orchestra up to the very highest note on the violin. In the violin. And then this orchestra violins play their open strings. And those were the thoughts that came to me when I took my violin out of its case this morning.
That's so wonderful. And it evokes so many emotions. And it is so interesting because people, I think, when they hear 12-tone, even today, may associate it with very academic music and not with emotional storytelling, which is what this is.
I love that you say that. That's exactly how I hear this piece. It's emotional storytelling. You know, people have said this is similar to the way Brahms writes music. This is similar to the way Kreisler writes music. And I think that's true. I think that's true. There's no question his compositional technique was flawless, perfect, you know, and such incredible imagination. But ultimately, this piece is about, it's about moving an audience.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.